I want to talk to you now about Mary Magdalene, and it's her recognition of Jesus Christ that I know will really speak into your heart. It'll give you some real encouragement. That's my goal. I know that it will. It'll help you as you're living your daily life of faith. I need that. We all need that. And start off with a little bit of a quiz. Curious about how much you might know about the resurrection and Christ's life after the resurrection. How many days was he here after he rose from the dead? Yeah, it was 40 days. He was here on earth for 40 days. And the next one, actually, you already have the answer if you heard the reading earlier. How many people saw him? It says more than 500. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good amount, right? You look at the amount here. There are not very many of us here for this service. But that's a lot more than what we are. There's a lot of people that saw him. That's pretty cool. So you have this huge amount of people that saw him. He was around for a long time. And they had this proof that Christ was alive. He was living. But focusing on Mary for a moment, Mary Magdalene, there's really nothing, absolutely nothing in comparison to her recognition. I think God put it in the Bible for us to look at and for us to get some edification from. And it's an incredible story. If you look on the back of your bulletins, you can see it from verse 11. So Mary's standing outside of the tomb, and she's crying, and she's weeping. She sees two angels, and then you look in verse 13, the angels ask her, they say, "Why are you crying?" Then of course she says, "They've taken away my Lord." She's sad. She says, "I don't know where they put him." And she turns around, but notice that when she says she turns around, okay, you don't know where she's at. The text is really not clear. Is she in the tomb? Is she outside? Really, what's going on? It doesn't really give you a whole lot of information. Let's read a little bit on from here. So it just says that she turned around. How did she turn around? Because what I'm getting to is, why didn't she recognize him? Why didn't she recognize him? We don't really have a whole lot of information in the text. We're not really sure actually where she is, and we're really not sure actually, you know, what's going on in her mind right now. It seems odd to me that she didn't recognize who Jesus was. Now, one reason why I think it's possible that she didn't recognize, there's probably a whole host of reasons, but one reason why she wouldn't have recognized him is because she's crying. It says that she's crying, and of course, you'd expect that she's crying. I don't know if you've ever had a really good cry? I mean, really, really good cry. I have. Different times in my life, I've had a really, really good cry. I remember when my dad died. It was very sudden. And I remember just seeing him. Oh, you know, it almost brings tears to my eyes now. I mean, it was really, really tough. And you don't see it because, you know, we're not of their culture and we can't see the Greek texts and stuff. But she's actually wailing. She is just wailing. And if you know anything about Middle Eastern culture, she's lost it. I mean, she is just, it's not just tears flowing down her cheek. She is just blind with just anguish. And she's overwhelmed. And she's crying and weeping. You know, and she looks and she sees this person and she's looking over here. She just saw two angels. She just can't figure this out. And so she just overwhelmed. So I get it. I can totally understand if that's the reason why she didn't recognize. But I think there's a second reason. Praise God, this is a reason I think that's most important and relevant for us. Is that, you know, it's just not her focus. She's just simply not focused in on Christ at this time. She couldn't see him. She couldn't see the resurrected Lord right there. Right behind her. It just wasn't, you know, it wasn't her focus. She's looking at the empty tomb, you see. She's looking at the empty tomb and she just saw two angels there and she's looking at that, and there is something there for us to take, because, you know, it is not this place. This place is no holier than any other place. Some people think this area up here is more holy than any other place. It is not. It's not about the tomb. It's not about the place. It's about the person of Jesus Christ. It's about the risen Lord, risen for you, living for you, living in you, recognizing the risen Lord in our lives. That's really what it's about. And Mary is just, she's a lot like us. She's a lot like me. I found a story I want to share with you about Martin Luther. We can all identify with Martin Luther, amen? We should. As good Lutherans, we can identify with him. Well, we can identify with him in more than one way. So Martin Luther suffered from depression. That's not unknown. He did. He had times when he would just really get totally down, and it's true. And so, you know, ministry besides is really tough. And so he was in just a deep funk, and just, you know, it was really hard for him. And the third day of his deep depression, his wife came downstairs in mourning clothes. And Luther asked her, he said, "Who's dead?" And Luther's wife, she was a really quite a character to begin with. She said, "Well, God is dead." If you want to get a theologian or a pastor engaged, you make a statement like that. And you're going to get him engaged, right? I mean, they're going to react to that. And of course, you know, Luther says, "Hey, what do you mean God is dead? God can't die." So his wife says to him, "Well, I just thought that he had died. Consider the way that you've been acting for the last 3 days." You know, and I like that story, but I don't like that story because I can be like that. And it can be difficult for us because we don't recognize Jesus. We don't see him. He's standing there right in front of us. And don't you love the questions that Jesus asks? God asks the most awesome questions in the world. God likes asking questions. You read in the Gospels, he asks questions all the time. "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" You know, and he asks these things. The best one is at the beginning of creation. Adam and Eve sinned. You know, God comes down into the garden as he has done. They were just close. They were tight. And God comes down in the garden. He goes, "Hey, where are you?" Of course, he's God. He knows where he's at, right? It's not a challenge for him. He knows exactly where he's at. Adam doesn't know where he's at. You see, Adam and Eve don't know where they're at. They're lost. And they don't have the direction and the connection. And that's why he speaks out the question for them so that they can connect back with him. He's not angry. If you see God as angry, you're not seeing him right. He's not angry at all. He was angry at Christ and poured out his wrath upon him. You know, we don't recognize him. And he's speaking to us. And the question is, Jesus appears to her. And he says the most beautiful, wonderful thing. He asks her, he says, "Who are you seeking? Whom are you seeking?" You know, ask ourselves that question. Whom are we seeking? Who are we seeking in our lives? And then he says something, and you don't catch this because of the text. Because our English text has Mary. But what he actually says in the text, he says Miriam. Miriam is her name. Her personal name in Aramaic. He speaks this to her. This was the name that he would have spoke when he cast the demons out of her. This was the name that he would have spoke when they fellowshiped together and they laughed and they rejoiced as they were journeying, as they were traveling, as they were healing, as they were studying God's Word together, as they were having the Lord's Supper together, as they were doing all the things that they did together, everything. This is the name that she heard. And when she heard that name, it clicked. It clicked in her mind. She was like, "Oh, wow. Have you heard Jesus speak to you? Have you heard him? You have to hear him. What is he saying to you?" You see, this is what this story is all about. This is what the resurrection is all about. If you have not heard him speak to you, if you have not heard him speak to you with love and compassion and forgiveness, you have not heard him. He's speaking that to you and that to me. And this is what she heard. And when she heard it, she just grabbed hold of him. I would have done the same thing. Would you have done that? I would have given him the biggest bear hug in the world. I would have just been all over him. And you know what he said is, he said, don't cling to me now. That's what it's actually in the Greek text. He said, don't cling to me. He said, I got work for you to do. I'm going to be here for a while. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for a while. You're going to see me. Well, we're going to fellowship together. We're going to break bread together. We're going to have time together. He said, don't worry about it right now. I got work for you to do. I want you to go about doing things. There's things that I have in mind, and let's do them. And you know, our God is, we don't recognize Him. You know, and in the most simplest of ways, we don't. I'll give you an example. Here's an example that occurs to me. You know, you're at work, and something really good happens. Like, let's say, you know, you get some benefit, or something goes your way, or it turns out really good. And somebody says, hey man, you were really lucky. It's not luck. It's not luck. It's not chance. It's Jesus Christ. Do we recognize it? Do we see it? Somebody says, well, you know, that's fate. That's just how the cards played out. That's how it works. No, it's not. It's Christ. Do we recognize it? Do we see it? You see, this is what He's speaking to us. This is what He's showing us. And you know, what I want to do is I want to leave you with three things. I would invite you to even jot them down. And there are three things that are going to be an encouragement to you. I need them too. They're going to help us as we live our lives of faith, because I think you would agree that life is hard. Amen? It's hard. It's not easy. It's not going to get easy, and you're going to have difficult days. And Christ is present. We have to recognize Him. Will you recognize Him? I want to. Praise God. This is what the resurrection is all about. And so I think really what we need to do is, for us as believers and everybody really, we just need to build up some personal evidence in our lives. We need to build some personal evidence in our lives of the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need to start keeping a record on this. We need to do this every day. We need to do this weekly. We need to do this monthly. We need to do this yearly. And it should be getting bigger. It should be growing every year. It should be getting more and more that we're recognizing Him. And you know, it might be, it's possible, even among a smaller group like this, it's very possible that, you know, person might think, you know, all this resurrection stuff, I'm not really sure it's true. You know, you might be thinking, you know, I kind of got doubts about this. I'm really not too sure that this really, you know, did he rise? Was he a ghost? Did somebody really steal his body? Because if you turn on most of the stuff you hear on popular media, there's going to be big questions about this. You know, if you're in that situation, I would like to share two book ideas with you. And these books are written actually by an atheist. They're written by an atheist who is a professor, a very well-known and very respected professor called Josh McDowell. And he didn't like Christianity and actually crusaded against it. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord revealed Himself to him, and he recognized the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he recognized the Lord Jesus Christ, he began following Christ, and he wrote books. Two of the beautiful books, powerful books that he wrote, one of them is Evidence Demands a Verdict. Evidence Demands a Verdict. It is a wonderful book. If you have any unsaved friends, family members, you need to get them this book. And if they're younger people especially, there's another book that he wrote that is just really targeted towards that younger crowd especially. And I love the name of this. It's Don't Check Your Brains at the Door. Isn't that great? Don't check your brains at the door. And what it does is it just really brings out the whole proof and the evidence so that the person can have that to build their life on. It's so important. Seeing, recognizing the risen Lord. And you know, I think we need to be reflective. I really do. I think we need to be reflective more. Most people, you know, are not reflective. And we don't stop and think. And we need to stop and think about Christ and about His presence in our lives. You know, and what would that look like practically in everyday life? What that would look like is, you know, instead of complaining or instead of worrying about the stress that you might have at work or you might have in your family or you might have just everyday life, recognize that Christ is there. Recognize that He's there. Just say to yourself in your mind, and I have to do this too, you just have to stop and say that Jesus, You're here. You're here, You're present. I'm Your child. And I'm going to cast this care upon You because You care for me. And let the Scriptures be in your mind, but to recognize. See, this is the point of this story. This is what the story is trying to teach us, is we need to recognize Christ in our lives. He is yours. You are His. And it's what we have to train ourselves to do, to recognize Him, to hear the voice as Mary heard it. And then thirdly, we got to give Jesus credit. Man, I want to give Him credit. He deserves all the credit. World doesn't deserve it. Devil doesn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Even for all the good things we do, we don't deserve the credit. Jesus Christ deserves the credit. So, you know, it could be like this, where let's say you're, you know, at work, and, you know, somebody says, as I was saying earlier, they said, hey, that worked out really good. You were so lucky that, you know, you got that job, or, you know, you got this, or you got that new car, or whatever it is that happened. You say, you know, it was God. Jesus did that. It was Jesus that did that. You give Him the glory. Wouldn't that direct the conversation? Wouldn't that just open it up, you know, because you're pointing it in the right direction. And you're talking to somebody who's hurting, somebody who's going through a difficult time. And you tell that person, you say, you know, my God will care for you and does care for you, and I'm going to pray for you. And I know somebody recently, they were testifying to me the truth is that they had shared that with somebody, and they said that to them, and they said, you know, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for this situation. And then the person was sharing later on at work that the situation worked out. It was actually an answered prayer. And it was a little small thing. It was a little small thing. It was actually really funny. If you got little ones, it was about trying to get the little one to go on the potty. Now, if you've ever had little ones, that can sometimes be an act of God, right? And I'll tell you, when that worked out, you know, they were actually praying. And when this person was praying and when it happened, you know, it was like, whoa, praise God. You know? Oh, I'm so glad that finally worked out. No, we're so glad that God helped because we couldn't do it. I think recognizing Him is what it's about. And I think it's recognizing Him in the everyday, in the simplest of things. Because, you know, our Lord is concerned about the simplest things. Because what happens, it's those simple things that sometimes can build up and build up and build up, and they can become really big things. But never for our Lord. Gracious Savior that He is. Kindness. May His love and His peace and His abundant blessings be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.